Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf chaf. We're holding two lines from the bottom of the omid. When the Gemara begins, Omer Amari, Shma mino chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kekodesh damu. What happens to a person who's makbid on his chulin? That he should always eat it al taras hakodesh. As we had in our Mishnah, there are five different levels of Kedusha. We start off with Chulin, and then we get to Maaser Sheni, and then we get to Truma, and then we get to Kodesh, and finally we get to Chatas, which means Por Aduma. So Chulin is the lowest level in terms of the Malas B'Kodesh that we spoke about in our Mishnah and in our Gemara. However, Mary says that you can, on your own, upgrade your Chulin by making sure always eat Al Taras HaKodesh. Now, why would a person want to be male his chulin to be nasal taras hakodesh? So the last Rashi explains, last two lines, nasal taras hakodesh, or the meroge lechol kodeshim, a person, for instance, who lives in Yerushalayim, and he was a frequent flyer in terms of eating kodeshim on an ongoing basis, mekabel olav lechol chulav b'taharas hakodesh. So he says to his whole mishpucha, Rabbi, I want you to know that we should, whenever we eat our chulin, it should always be on that highest level of taras hakodesh. Kadeshihu b'nei beisayd zehirin ubekien b'taras hakodesh, so that the home mishpucha should be careful and should be expert in all the rules and regulations, and therefore, light plug, anything and everything that comes into the house, that we put into the refrigerator, that we leave in the cupboard, that we have in the kitchen, everything is all al taras hakodesh. So now the question is, what are the practical nafka minutes if he says it's al taras hakodesh? So the mafarshim, the practical nafka minutes are, legabe, which degree of tumah can it go to? Meaning that normally chulin can only go until a sheni. So if you have, for instance, any type of tumah that touches chulin, and that tumah happens to be a sheni, like stam yodayim, which are shniois, they go and touch the chulin, nothing happens, zero, gurnished. However, if a person says, I take upon myself to eat this chulin, taras hakodesh, not only does it become tumah as a shlishi, if a sheni were to touch the chulin and becomes tummy as a shlishi, it can thereafter go and touch kodshim and be metame the kodshim. Now metame the kodshim, passel the kodshim, because kodshim go till a revi. Chulin, really? I thought chulin goes until a sheni. Says Rav Mari, a person can go and for himself upgrade the mala of the chulin so that it doesn't stay at chulin at a sheni, but it can go all the way to the goreim a revi because of the fact that he's eating an altar sakoich.
For others?
I'm sorry?
He can do this for others. In other words,
wait, he was starting with the smallest, so
no, I'm saying
Koshkin, he could take the maser and be.
No, I'm saying, but for him, he heard, so if it's a kohen, so he can't eat the kodshim. But would other kohanim also have?
No, it's a Kohen, it'd be Yisrael. If it's Kodesh, it could be Shlomim.
Fine.
Yeah, okay. That's correct. Okay. But it would only affect him. It doesn't affect everybody else.
Everybody else is still, it's not Tummy.
So, well, you're asking if it's his own food item,
right,
that he has now caused it to be Tummy, how that would affect other people, I don't know. But at least vis-a-vis him, it would be Tummy. He wouldn't be able to use it.
Like his wife's neighbor borrows the kneading trough to do it, so mm-hmm. So they were dealing with it, Al Taras HaKodesh. So this kli is tameh, etc., etc. Now the neighbor borrows it, and she has real shlomim, mm-hmm, that she's involved with. Does that kli, which was in their household, does that tumor radiate when it goes when it leaves their household, or is it only in their corners of their house?
What you're doing is a beautiful way of dramatizing in a graphic manner, I think, what Brother Shai is asking. Mm-hmm. The answer is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Certainly for him and for his family, it has a status like Kodesh, and therefore if they have Kodeshim at home, they would go and could potentially become a Revi if they're not careful with their Chulin, because the Chulin could be yoreit to a shlishi if stam yadayim touched it, and then if that chulin then in turn touched the kodshim, then the kodshim would become possible, becomes a revi. Zok dimar mimash.
In Barry's case, though, you couldn't have a kli. The kli couldn't go beyond the sheni anyway. He said he touched it, so what?
Why can't the kli go? If the meat can go, if its chulin can go to a shlishi, why can't the kli also?
I thought a kli. Ochel and Mashkim, I thought, could go further, but Adam and Kalim can't go.
They
go
perhaps further. It's so broad that it would apply to the Kalim as well.
You have a Tumas Medrash situation where the person, it becomes a Rishon,
okay.
The Kli is a Rishon, you know, is or the food, the particles of food from the first house.
Frank Yumar, Mimai, where does Rav Mori take this from? He says, Shema Mino. Shema Mino means having learned our Mishnah. He says, I've concluded that Chulus and Asar, Koydish, Koydish, Dom. Frank Yumar, Mimai, where do you take this from? So Yumar, Lechoydim, and Lech Tani Buhumala. Because it doesn't say a separate Mala in the Mishnah. What does it mean it doesn't say a separate Mala? So Rashi explains that remember we had in the Mishnah that we had first the Big Day Amoretz happened to be Medris Leprushim, and then we had the Big Day Prushim on Medris to those that are Oichle Truma, and then we had that the Big Day Oichle Truma on Medris for Oichle Kodshim, and those that are Medris, those that are Oichle Kodshim, Big Day Oichle Kodshim are Medris to those that are busy with the Chattas or the Paraduma. Now, L'chayra, we left out one case. What is that one case? We could have said that the Big Day Prushim who eat their Chulin, Al Taras HaChulin, their begodim are a medris to those that eat chulin al tarasa koidish. Because tarasa koidish is a self-imposed higher degree, higher grade of kedusha. So I can throw that into the mix and say, Big Day Prushim, who eat their chulin al tarasa chulin, their begodim become medris to those that eat their chulin al tarasa koidish. Why does the Mishnah leave that case out? Muzdach Zayin, that the two are considered to be exactly the same. You see the top Rashi. Midleitoni b'hu ma'ala. Loima, we could have said the Mishnah, that the Big Day Purushin o'ichlin chulein b'taras ha-chulin is medrash la'ichli chulein b'taras ha-koidish, since it doesn't say that, shema minam b'chlal koidish, that therefore when a person says, I'm going to eat my chulein b'taras ha-koidish, then it becomes within the category of koidish. Vatanali Koidish, and Koidish we have already in the Mishnah, that those that are eat their Truma, Tarasa Truma, the Oichle Truma, their begodim happen to be Medris to the Oichle Koidish. So I have Koidish, so I don't need to go and invent a separate category of Chulin Shanathal Tarasa Koidish, because that's a subset that's included within Koidish. That's what the Gemara wants to say. Frey Timara. V'dilma haidlik tani bu mala didam l'truma hatani l'truma vidam l'chulin hatani l'chulin. All you said is that because of the omission, don't assume that that's automatically a separate category, but it's squeezed in, it's a subset of an existing category. So the chulin shenasal taras and koidish is a subset of the koidish category in the Mishnah. Freitimor, who says? Maybe it's a subcategory of truma. Or maybe, in fact, a person who eats chulin, shenas, or taras ha-koidish, it remains chulin, and therefore it's included in chulin. So you're telling me, why are you going and speculating? Maybe truma, maybe chulin. Well, I'm not speculating. The sign you have a braisa. Chulin, shenas, or taras ha-koidish, someone who takes upon himself that this chulin he's eating al taras ha-koidish, says the Tanakhama, ain't chulin. It still remains kedushas chulin, no more, no less, and therefore no distinctions to be made between Yaakov, who's makben on all his chulin shenasal taras ha-koidish, and between Beryl, that he eats his chulin shenasal taras ha-chulin. They're exactly the same. No difference. Reb Lozer Reb Tzadik Oimer, Harayin Ketruma. No. By the fact that you mali it with your chumris, that it should be nasal taras ha-koidish, doesn't reach the level of koidish, but at least reaches the level of truma. So therefore, like in our case before, if Yadayim Shniois were to go and touch the Chulin, then that could cause a psul in Truma. But it couldn't go to the Revi because he holds it only as Ketruma. Anyway, so I see that there's already an existing Machloikis HaTanoim as to Chulin Shanas Altaris HaKoidish. What is its halachic religious Tahara status? Where one man Yama says it's chulin, and her blood Reb Tzadik says that it's truma. And now Rav Mori, who is an Amoira, he seems to go and be putting his own Amoraic spin on this and saying, no, as it's not like Koidish. We have two Tanoim that disagree, so where does he take it from? And his whole Shemam, you know, his whole Diyuk from the Mishnah L'Choira is not a very strong Raya, because it's all because of the fact that this case is omitted. Because it's omitted, must be because once you eat chulin al taras ha-koidish, then it gets subsetted, gets included in the set of koidish. Who says? Maybe it remains in the set of chulin. Chulin is chulin is chulin. No matter how frum, no matter how religious, no matter how you try to be malit on your own with all types of chumris, but it remains chulin. Or maybe it gets upgraded to truma. But who says it gets upgraded to chodesh? And so therefore the chodesh shma mino is a shvacharai. Says Yimura, no, the Mari is not phased, and he said, no, I have a raya from our Mishnah. Not from the case that you just brought, Elami Seifa. Let's go to the Seifa of the Mishnah. Yoisim ben Yoezer hoyechosit shebekuna, voisim et pachtoi medris lakosh. Yoisim ben Yoezer, notwithstanding the fact that he was considered to be among the most righteous of all the Kehanim, nevertheless, his mitpachas, his hand towel that he would go and use at meals, had a status of medris lekoidish. Why? Because truma is one madrega, koidish is another madrega. The rai is not from there. The rai is from the next case. Yoichanan ben Gudgada hayoichel al taras koidish kol yomav. And the Gemara assumes that that means that he ate all of his schulin al taras koidish throughout his lifetime. And as a result, notwithstanding that he was so makbet to eat everything al taras hakodesh, his mitpachas, again his hand towel, had a status of a medris lechatos for paraduma. Now let me ask you, isn't chulin shenas al taras hakodesh something less than kodesh? And if it's less than kodesh,
it's lechatos.
I'm sorry?
Is it less than
less than chatos says reading the Mishnah. Yeah. Our Gemara is now being medayi. Why does the Mishnah go and say that it was only a medris for those that are involved in the paraduma? It should say that it's a medris for all those that eat their kodshim al taras hakodesh. Of course, kodshim by definition al taras hakodesh. So why does it leave that out? For Eitimara, why does it say vayis mitpach the medris lechatos? It's mashal lechatos and lekodesh loy. Why don't we go and say that although he ate it al taras hakodesh, but it's still chulin. It wasn't Kodshim that he's eating Altaris HaKodesh, he's eating Chulin Altaris HaKodesh. So why don't we say that therefore his mitpachtoi should be a medris li'oichlei Kodshim? Since we didn't say that, is the chasimin alma kasav chulin shenasa Altaris HaKodesh is ke'kodesh damu. And therefore, since it's like Kodesh, all those people that are eating Kodshim, running around Kodshim, if they were to touch his mitpachas, that mitpachas would not be problematic because he and they are all on the same level of kedusha. He's eating chulin anasa taras hakodesh, and they're eating kodshim, which is kodesh. So taras hakodesh and kodesh is equal to each other. They're both the same, and so therefore it would only be a mitpachas as a medris to those that are on the next level, which is the chatas people, the paraduma people. But as far as the kodshim people, they're exactly the same. So that's Rav Mori's raya. The raya is not from the fact that we didn't insert another case earlier. The raya is from Rav Yochanan and Gudgada, that we see that the Mishnah tells us that mitpachta was a medris lachatas, and it doesn't say it was a medris la kodesh. And with this, we have concluded the shtickle, and now we come on to a new sugya. From here until the end of the parak, we're going to talk about the inyan of hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means that for something to remain tohor, it has to be that throughout the day, throughout the time, you are constantly thinking and focusing on that item to make sure that it does not become tameh. Because if you are spaced out, or you're thinking about other matters, then some tumah could have crept in without your even realizing it, and it can make it tameh. Now, of course, again, we're not talking about tumah d'oraisa, because tumah d'oraisa would mean that you actually touched, or your kli, or your food items touched, chas v'shalom, ames, tziyah nevela, tziyah, and Anita touched it, azova, tziyah zov, tziyah metzoyra, all of those things that cause things to become tameh. And it's got to be that you know for sure. For instance, if you have a suffik in a shusar rabim, it's tar. If it's suffik b'shusar yachid, then it's tameh, because we learn from Saita. Agmar is talking about malis b'kodesh, and it's telling us that those that are extremely scrupulous, real perushim, they are very, very careful to make sure that at all times the food items which we're going to focus on, or the kelim that we're going to focus on, were constantly watched. There was a shmira that it should not become tameh. And if there was not a proper shmira, then I have to assume that it was tameh, and I have to go and toilet in the mikvah, or do whatever you need to do to go and be matan. So the Gemara is initially going to give us three separate examples. Amr Yonis and Menaluza, Nofla Mafartoi Henanu. Person who is a Porush, walking down the street, he has a Maferis, or as she said, Maferis means a Suder, so it's like a scarf or a shawl. He was wearing it, and like things happen from time to time, there was a wind, there was a draft, and it fell on the floor. Amr Chaveroi, his chaver is walking next to him, and the chaver, being a very nice fellow, bends over to pick it up. And he says, chaver, can you do me a favor? Can you give me back my mafaitis? Amr Chaveroi Tanali, and in fact, the chaver picked it up, and he handed it over. The Nostaloi Temeya, it has a status of Tamei. And Rashi adds, even if I know for a fact that my chaver that picked it up and gave it to me was Tohoyer, he just came out of the mikveh 2 minutes ago, and throughout those 2 minutes he was very careful not to go and touch anything or anything, he was very, very careful. Nevertheless, this mafoyeris now becomes tummy. The reason why it becomes tummy, as the Gemara will explain on the bottom of the Omid, that we have a rule, chazoka ein odem mishamer ma shebiyad chaveroi. You can only do proper shmira in something which is under your jurisdiction, under your hands, that you're holding on to. If somebody else is holding on to it, even though he might be tohar legamri, but I cannot have shmira on what that person is doing or what that person is holding. Are you going to go and say that maybe he made Shemira and therefore that should be sufficient? Rashi says, since that other individual heard me ask him, please pick it up and give it to me, or he's already picking it up and please hand it over to me, why am I able to go and say to him, hand it over and give it to me? Maybe he happens to be Tomei, and if he's Tomei, he shouldn't be. I should tell him, Yankel, leave it, don't pick it up, I'm going to take it. But the fact that I allow him to pick it up, it sounds like I'm not so makbid on whether or not he is Tohar, or whether or not this Mafoyris becomes Tomei. So therefore, both I, that lost the Mafoyris, I can't do a Shmira because it's B'yad Shul Chaveroi, and my Chaver assumes that I don't really care, because I'm allowing him to pick it up, so nobody's doing a full-fledged Shmira. And therefore, as a din of Tumah. Let's look at the Rashi. Tameya, the Rashi that says Mafarta at the beginning of the line. Suder, Tameya, Vafil is their Torah. Even if the other guy is 100% Torah. The Kam Mafarish Taima, we're really going ahead of ourselves because Rashi says we're going to learn at the bottom of the Amid. Chazoka ein odum mishamer mashe biyad chavera. And therefore, the Fichach, who loishomer biyad chavera. Even if I'm watching the whole time and I'm looking with a telescope and with a microscope. But nevertheless, we have this chazok and this rule that you cannot be shoimer mashe biyad chaveroi. V'gamzeh nosnoloi. And even the other fellow who picked it up, the nice guy, he picked it up and he handed it over to me. He himself wasn't scrupulous in watching it. The Meim Omer, he says to himself, kimin she'omer lei. Tanoli, since the person who dropped the mafoiris has asked him to pick it up and give it to me, how does he know if I'm Tomei Atayah Vaisnish? L'chosh v'tarosa, so apparently he doesn't really care. Yotar, Nishkatar. V'yishkan hesach hadas. So therefore, in both related to the person who dropped the mafoiris and the person who's picking it up and handing it over, they both have that status of hesach hadas, and nobody is able to go and watch it properly with the whole inyoni shmira. U'machmira v'taharis, Rashi points out, for the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, it's not a problem. But those that are extremely scrupulous when it comes to Haris, have the Hesach Hadas Tumah, it would have a din of Tumah. Not that it's Vadei Tumah, but I have to be Choshesh that it became Tumah, and therefore I have to treat it as if it became Tumah. That's halacha number one of Hesach Hadas. And now we're going to have two more cases, and the other two cases are much, much more similar to one another. Amr Bionisim and Amram, this halfaloi kelim shel Shabbos bekelim shel Chol, the lavshon nitmo. Somebody in the morning, he's getting up, he has two suits which are hung up in the closet, and by accident, it's a Tuesday morning, instead of taking his normal, regular suit that he would wear during the week, by accident he put on his Shabbos clothes. And in the dark, he couldn't tell the difference between one and another. Now he walks out on the street. He says, oh, what did I do? I'm wearing my Shabbos clothes today instead of wearing my regular suit. Nitmu, they become tamei. What tamei did they become? What did he do wrong? The answer is because of the fact that he mis- label or misidentify these kelim that he's wearing, at least initially, that's also considered to be a hesach hadas, that he didn't have the shmira that he would normally give it. Rashi, the Gemara is going to say at the bottom of the Amud that kelim of Shabbos, ovid lehu shimer tvei. If you want to look at three lines from the bottom of the Amud, you'll see the Lashon HaGemara. Three lines, but from the bottom. Even the kelim of Shabbos of Lushim Tvei, a person is much more scrupulous on Shabbos than during the week. That everything should be absolutely ataris hakodesh. It should be a real good shmira. The kelim that he wears during the week is somewhat less in terms of his scrupulousness than it should be absolutely tar. So that difference, although it might be the difference of a hair, but lemaisa, it's not the same degree of tahara. That's also called hesach hadas, and therefore it has a din of tumah. Let's look at the next Rashi. Kelim shol Shabbos bekelim shol chol. We're almost halfway down the Rashi. Kesover lita begodav shol chol. When after Shabbos, he thought he was going to put on his weekday clothing, and only afterwards did he realize, I'm wearing my Shabbos suit. Nitmu kesol kedai tahashta the svirale meshamer hadover becheske shu dover ze. Just by the fact that he has mislabeled in his mind the suit that he's wearing, that mislabeling alone goes and dilutes the shmira. It's not the same level of shmira, and that causes it to become tame. And the Gemara gives now a similar example, an example which is easier to follow. Amr Blazer Rab Tzadik, Maase B'Shtei Noshim Chaveirois, Shenischalfu Lehen Kaleim Beis HaMelechus. There were two women that were Chaveiros. Chaveiros over here don't mean that they were friends. It means that each one was an Eishes Chaver, who is Makbid, or the husband is Makbid, and therefore they are deemed all to be Makbid, to go and do every their thing. Everything should be Kaidishim, should be Tahara. And Nischalfu Lehen Kaleim Beis HaMelechus, they both went that day to the public bathhouse, and they both had to go to the mikveh, whatever. And it was dark, and by accident, Nancy put on Yenti's clothing, and Yenti put on Nancy's clothing, and only afterwards, when they get home, they realize, I switched my dress with somebody else. So what happens now? This question came in front of Akiva. The Timon, he said, both of those dresses are tamei, again for the same reason. Because, like Rashi said, svirilei, Mishamer hadover b'cheska shehudover zeh, benim teshudover acher. Like the previous case, I thought it was my weekday suit, it turns out to be my Shabbos suit. Therefore, that hesach hadas, that lack of knowing exactly what the item was, mislabeled. Here too, the two women thought it was their clothing, it turned out to be their chavertis clothing. So therefore, both of them have now the status of tuma. Again, tuma midrabanon, for those in machmir b'taharis, it's coming. Aha. So Frank Dimoriet, mask of the Raboishia. The Raboishia's kasha is not on all three cases, but only on case number two and case number three. We're going to get back to the first case later on. Remember, the first case was the Mafartoi, his sudr fell to the ground, and the other person picked it up. The other two cases, Rabbi Yonisim and Amram and Blazer of Tzavik, are basically the same case, both cases where a person mistakenly put on the wrong clothing, and therefore the Gemara assumes that they didn't rise to the level of the same Shmira, and therefore that in itself is a cause that it should become Tamei.
Sometimes the Gemara uses the word kelim when they're talking about begotim.
Yes.
In the case of the second case, when the person gets up in the morning to put on the clothes, presumably he was asleep at night. Isn't that a hesach hadas?
But when he woke up in the morning, he said, my Dani, he washed his hands.
No, but his clothing was not, so to speak, shamor with
Havana. Apparently, there's no requirement that a person has to be up 24 hours watching his kelim, because he would presumably eventually he'd fall asleep. So then everybody would be guilty of it.
Right, I'm just saying, is it conclusive here that sleeping is not an interruption as a chadas?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's correct.
What if he puts on the kelim incorrectly? Is that also problematic?
Since the Gemara doesn't give that as an example, apparently that we don't go to that extreme. It's bad enough, quote unquote, if you go from Shabbos to Chol to Shabbos or somebody else's kelim. The fact that you put it on backwards or something, that apparently
your T-shirt on inside out of it,
right?
Yeah, apparently that wouldn't be the case for me. The Gemara would use that as a further illustration, even though you're wearing the beggar that you wanted to wear and you did it backwards. So apparently that would not be a problem. Is Maschil Raboishia? So Raboishia is now challenging the second two cases, the case of the Shabbos and Chol, and the case of the two women. Based on what you're saying, what happens if you have in your pantry you have a bread box, and that bread box is quite large, and in it you have two separate breads, one which is made out of wheat and one which is made out of barley, and I want to feed my family, and therefore I'm taking out the paschitin as opposed to pasoirim, which is usually considered to be a machal behema, certainly inferior to the paschitin. I don't want the paschitin. Paschitin would be for some other time, not for now. So he wanted to take out the paschitin, and by accident took the paschitin, and he puts it on the table. He looks at, oh no, I took out the wrong one. So that's a mislabeling. He took the wrong one, just like the choyl in the Shabbos suit. Hachanami didn't mean you're going to tell me that it becomes tummy as a result, because he had a hesach edasi. He didn't go and treat this like the paschitin. He treated it like the pasoyim, he took out the wrong one, and therefore it's a mislabeling, and therefore it should be tameh. Based on what we just said, anytime you mislabel something, anytime you took out the wrong item, it becomes tameh. Vatanya, I'll show you from the brayza that it's an ishtazoy. Hashamar sachov yis becheskes shel yayin, minim teshel shemen. A person has a large barrel, and that barrel he knows is full of liquid, and he picks it up, it's very heavy, and it sloshes back and forth, so he knows there's a liquid inside. He assumes that there is wine inside, and therefore the whole time he has in mind, oh, this wine should remain kodesh and tohar, and everything should be fine and wonderful. And then guess what? A day later, a week later, he opens it up, and it's shaman. It's not wine, it's shaman. Says the braisa, it's tohar, tohoira militamei. Why? After all, the whole time he was dreaming, thinking, focusing, being mechaven, yayin, 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 and now, unfortunately, the person is whining, and he says, not wine. Ed Shaman! Where's Shelley when we need him? Anyway, so the point is, says the Gemara, I don't care about the fact that he mislabeled it in his mind. It makes no difference. He had the full shmira on a sealed barrel. It remains tahar. Now, this is a direct challenge to both Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram and Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadik, where they said that even though the person was focusing and thinking and all, but with a mislabeling, it becomes tummy. Just like the Shabbos begodim, the Chol begodim, a mislabel. He treated it exactly the same way. No, it's tummy. Same thing, the two women that switched the dresses, she treated each one mitigamta tahar, mitigamta kedusha, but because of mislabeling, we said it's tummy. I see from the case of this braisa, the mishamar is a chobis, because shel yayin, and then afterwards it turns out to be shemen. Yayin and shemen are two different entities, as we all know. It remains tahar. Based on what we just said, it should be tummy. The art scroll brings from Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's not here in the Gilyon HaShas, so maybe it's in Chidush Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says he doesn't know why the Gemara began with, why did Rabbi Yishe start off with, El Meyat, Hoyshet Yodel Lesal, Lito Paschitim, Yodel Meyat, Bas Oirem. What do you need that case for? Rabbi Yishe can go directly to the Braisa and say, how do you tell me that if you switched your Kalim Chol for Shabbos, Shabbos for Chol, it's Tameh, Ay, Votanya. That it's tohor. That's an excellent question. What does he need to throw in that paschitim pasoirim issue? Anyway, apparently Rebbe Kiva gives no answer because the art scroll does not bring any answer.
In the examples where the person mistakenly puts on his Shabbos suit when he thought it was his chol suit, or the two women
right.
exchange clothing, can they just simply say, you know what, I make my clothes mevater to you, you can have it? Or now I'm changing my suit that was for Shabbos, I'm going to change it to Chol, and I'm going to, you know, can he redesignate the clothing to avoid making
it? Eventually he can redesignate it, but at the moment, that first second that he mislabeled and put on the wrong clothing, or she put on the wrong clothing, already at that moment, the Tumah sets it. So you can go after it, toivel it, and then you can go and rededicate it and consecrate it now.
Redesignate it.
Right.
When it says tameh, does it mean imamish becomes tameh for this
individual?
Or does it become, hesach hadas, it means it becomes tameh, or it becomes royal kabal tumah? Like now it's in a vulnerability stage of some kind.
Let's assume that this person is a kohen and he has truma.
Yeah.
And the truma were to touch one of these begodim, our Gemara is telling us it would become puzzle, and he wouldn't be able to eat it.
Okay.
Presumably, he wouldn't have a tumma deraisa.
It's all in the bun.
And therefore, what would be the din? So presumably, you wouldn't be able to go and burn it, but would rather you'd have to go and leave it until it gets rust. Till it spoils exactly.
We have a cloud that Rishon cannot be metame adam akelim.
But a kli can metame ochlin amashkin shai. So what's your question?
I'm trying to understand what the mechanism is here. That this kli, this baggage is a kli, and it became tami nehesach hadas.
Right.
Now medrash it could become. So are we saying that it's?
So usually these types of begotten hesach hadas is usually a sheni, and a sheni can go make a truma into shlishi. So that's a truma and becomes
possible. So hadas makes it into a sheni.
Right. Because it's a drabon, it's not the arise. It's a rise, a level of an avatam, and a rishon tum would be a shame in the tum. Shame in the tum by truma can make it possible. And if this person is eating kachim, it could then continue on into revi as well.
So we give it a shani level.
A shani level. It's a shani term. It's a nice term. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we'll chayra have a befeirish braisa which is head on against Rabbi Yehudis ben Amram and Rabbi Lotham Reb Tzadik, that even though something is mislabeled, doesn't make a difference. It's tahar. But the Gemara doesn't give up, and the Gemara says l'tamech. Look right in the same braisa. The braisa ends off in the sefer va'asurami le'achol. You just said a moment ago it's tohar, it's tohar milatame. It won't be mitame others. But it itself is asur. So why would it be asur lecha? Oh, because it's tame. Oh, see, I'm right, says Rabbi Yonis Simon Amram. Says Rabbi Lot Rabbi Tzadik, I'm right. That when you mislabel something, it can become tame. And that's why it's asur lecha. So you're asking me a kasher, Boishia. I'll bring you a raya from the safe that I'm right and that you're wrong. Of course, the question is now, what about the Reish and the Sefer? Don't we have an internal steer? If you're saying it's Asa Melechol because it becomes Tamei, then the Reish should go and say that it also. It should be Metamei others. If you're talking about Truma, if you're talking about Kodjim, it's Tamei. So it should pass, it should be Tamei. Zoktimor Amai. So what's going on over here? What's the reason why the Sefer says that it's Asa? Amar B'Yermia, I'll tell you. The two rabbis, Rabbi Yonis ben Amram and Rabbi Lotham Reb Tzadik, are correct. That it becomes Tamei. You're asking me a question. Why did it say in the Reishi is Torah Mila Tamei? And the Sefer says, Asur Milecho. Rabbi Yirmiya, Mi Oimish Martiya, Mi Dover HaMetama, V'lei Mi Dover HaPoisla. It's talking about a person that says, I was very careful. I made a Shmira, Mi Dover HaMetama, from something that would be Metameit, but not from something that would parcel it. In other words, intense, heavy-duty tumis, I stayed away from. I made sure, don't let anything like that get close to anything that I have, in this case, these two chavyasim, these two barrels. I stayed away from anything with metama, but I wasn't scrupulous about dover ha-paisla. Therefore, dover ha-paisla, something could have come and parceled it, so therefore it becomes osur mila'achoyl. However, I was very careful that nothing that had a higher degree of tumah would get close to it, that would make it not only that it itself becomes tamei, but that it would passel or be metamei achrini. And therefore, a person can make such a half a shmira. And that's why the Bryce is now internally correct. The reason why it says in the Reisha, tohoirim alatamei, because I was very careful that it should not get close to anything that would make it Tame to be metame or pasal others, tohar militame. It won't be metame anything else. But it itself could become tame asur milachol, because I wasn't so careful to save it and watch it from dover hapaisla.
The example they're giving doesn't state explicitly that if the barrel is sealed, what's the problem? If the barrel is not sealed, then I'll know if it's shemen or yayin. It feels like there's a detail being.
So let's look at the toises over here. The second toises. Shmarti midover metamel midover hapoislam. Let's wait for another two lines. We'll get back to your question. Go back to the toises, because toises goes now into the next case, which we haven't learned yet. Is there such a thing that a person can be shomer for one aspect and not for the other? That sounds very, very strange. And we have a case like that. Where's the case? Latanya. A person is carrying a sal, a basket, on his shoulder. And inside the sal, there are figs. Also inside the sal, there is a magrefa. What exactly is a magrefa? Rashi said magrefa is a utensil that is used usually for two purposes. Either number one, to scrape out any afer, any ash that you have, thank you, that you have inside the oven, or to go and separate when you have a cake of figs, to separate between one fig and the other. If you look at the Rashi, Hasal shol te'enim al kaseifoi, umagreifu b'seicha, kli barzalu, it's made out of metal, shekorin vidl, shegorfen boy efrakir, with that you rake out, you scrape out the efrakir, v'gam, and you can also use mavdil and boy te'enim to go and split up and separate figs, hamubakazu b'zu, that are stuck to one another in such a cake of figs. Okay, good, so the person is walking down the street, he's holding the sal al kaseifoi, and in that sal you have not only the figs, you also have a magrefa, this vidl kli that you use to go and separate the figs. But you believe al sal, and the whole time he's thinking about sal. I want you sal. I want you to mean kodesh. I want you to mean tohar. I don't want him to get anything close to you. To get any, we're going to stay away from anybody that might be a zover, or a nida, or a balkeri, or a person, or a dead nevela, or a dead sheretz. I'm going to be very careful. So he believed in the Magrefa. He wasn't even thinking about the Magrefa. The Magrefa was, and not only not an afterthought, it wasn't on his radar screen at all. Good, and now he comes home. Hasal is tohor. The Sal is tohor because he didn't have Hesach Hadas. He was thinking about it the whole time. The Magrefa tamei. However, the Magrefa is tamei because he wasn't thinking about it the whole time. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, how does this work? Zok the Gemara. Hasal is tohor, the tama magrefa lesal. If you're telling me the magrefa is a din of tuma, why isn't the magrefa, which is inside the sal, why is it not metame the sal? Sadi Mar gives the obvious answer, because ain't kli metame kli. Because the figured Brother Shai would ask that question, so therefore it already rises to the challenge and says, one kli can metame another kli. Okay. But the tame ma shebisal. Why don't the figs inside the sal become tame as a result of the fact that the magrefa is there touching all of those figs inside the sal? You know why? Because when I had the magrefa inside the sal, although the Gemara said that loy hoye believe ala magrefa, loy hoye believe ala magrefa, legabe dovra poisle, something that should go and passel it, that the magrefa should become passel, it itself should become tome. There I wasn't careful, so it became tome. But I was careful that it shouldn't get an intense form of tuma, that it should be metame achrini. And therefore, although the magrefa itself is tome, it doesn't go and passel the figs. Now the question is, how does that work? That I had a mind for Dabra Metamei, I didn't have a mind for Dabra Poislei, which is of course the same svar that we said a moment ago, vis-a-vis the Yayin and the Shemen. That why do we say that it's Tohar Meletamei Achrini, but it itself is Tamei? So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, because he said, Shemarti Medabra Metamei Dabra Poislei. And now we want to get to Barry's question. What are the details? So we get to the second Tosis. Shemarti Medabra Metamei Dabra Poislei Vayekosha L'Rabbi Chanan. Then my Yitzchak half magrefa. How did this magrefa inside the sal become tummy? Ibarishay, oy b'sheini, ein odom v'kelim mekabim tuma elami avatuma. Like we discussed about a moment ago. So therefore, how did the magrefa become tummy? It didn't become tummy from odom v'kelim because ein odom v'kelim mekabim tuma elami avatuma. V'iba avatuma. High apostle, tummy have it. So you're going to tell me that the magrefa touched an avatama, meaning it touched a mushel, a dead sheretz, or an avela. So then, if it touched an avatama, then it in fact does rise to the level that it becomes a rishon. If it becomes a rishon,
it's metame the figs.
It should be metame the figs. So how do you go and say, I was only careful vis-a-vis the figs, that it shouldn't, that the magrefa shouldn't go and be metame it. But as far as the magrefa, I allowed it to become tummy. How did the magrefa become tummy? If it touched a rishon or a sheni, nothing happened. Elamai touched an avatum, then it becomes a rishon. If it becomes a rishon, then by definition, it can go and passel other things, meaning the food items, the figs. So how taka? How did he split it up that I was careful that it should only become tummy itself, but I wasn't careful it shouldn't be metame others? Vetirit. Shenifsla b'mashkin. It touched mashkin. Mashkin t'mein. poison the kli, can amrin and achori kelim shenitmu mamashkin. The din of mashkin mitame kelim is again a din derabbanan. The reason why typically mashkin would have a higher form of tumah midrabbanan is because of the fact that we have a gzeira mishum mayonis. What's gzeira mishum mayonis? That since every zav zava nida etc. It says in the pasuk b'chiyorek hazav batohar. Yorek is the lashon of rakika of spittle. If spittle goes and touches, goes and leaves the mouth of the zav, for instance, onto a tohar person, that person becomes tameh. So that's his mayonis. Mayonis means his own natural body liquids or fluids. Ah, since you're telling me that there are liquids that are metameh, the deraisa, therefore the chum said, you know what? All mashkin can become tameh and pasul kalim minatayim. I'm sorry, midrabban. So therefore I have now a situation where the magreif is inside the sow. What did it touch? We said before, if it would have touched an avatuma, a deraisa, tika avatuma, it would become a rishon. It certainly would have been metameh all of the figs, because the figs, assuming that they're chulin, fine, chulin becomes a shayni. The avatuma was an av. The magreifin became a rishon. Rishon metameh the oichlin, it becomes a shayni. So why did it say in the Mishnah that they're all tar? And this, the brisa that is. On the other hand, you said that what happens if it would have touched a rishon, the magreifa would have touched a rishon or a sheni, nothing would have happened because ain't kli metame kli, like the Gemara said before. And also, a keli can become tamei from a rishon; it can only become tamei from an av. A rishon can only be metame oichel and mash, can be metame odom v'keli. So then, it didn't become tamei itself. Oh, we're talking about it became tamei midrabanan. What was it? The Rabbanan touch mashkin tamein. Mashkin tamein, however, only causes the magreif itself to become tamei or posel. It does not. It's not an intensive form of tuma to allow it to go mitame the figs. That's why the figs remain tohar. So therefore, I have now a case of I was shoymer midover ha matama v'loy midover ha poisla. And you're going to go back to your question about the barrels.
I don't want to, because it, even though it wasn't addressed, I don't want to torture you anymore. But so I just want to stay on point on the content of what we're saying.
Good.
The tumah that we're saying here is not descending on this magrefa because it actually touched a liquid. Mm-hmm. We're saying it's the hesach hadas that kind of like defaults it to become tameh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So isn't it a bit of a stretch here, because the nothing actually in my grave is dry as a bone, mm-hmm. as a dry bone the entire time. Mm-hmm. It's only hesach hadas which is deeming it as if it touched this mayonos slash gzeirah d'rabbanan upgrade to make it.
Everything you're saying is correct.
So this is unbelievably remote. I mean, to me, the magreifa didn't touch anything. It was sealed in the sow.
What did Rashi say? L'machmirin b'taharoi sabihesach hadas tuma. For the rank and file people, based on what it says in the Torah, you're right. But those are mach b'taharoi, they want to make absolutely certain, 100%. Since I wasn't thinking about the magreifa the whole time, I was only thinking about the sow.
And the sow and the contents within it as well. And parenthetically?
Fine. Okay. But I wasn't thinking about the magreifa at all, so maybe magreifa touched mashkin tamei without my realizing it, and then the magreifa would have become tamei, but it wouldn't have touched it wouldn't have affected the figs, because the figs would not become tamei from this magreifa that only became tamei through the mashkin tamei.
We do have a split decision here, a split sachadas. Hesachadas and magreifa, but not the sal slash.
Exactly, and that's what Gemara wanted to prove.
Okay.
That there is such a concept that you can be meshamer midover hametama, but not from midover apoisla. Okay. Yeah, Jeff, you have a question.
Just curious, but I might have missed it. Does it make a difference if the magreifa is usually found with the? Does that make the hesachadas more important if it's an item usually found with that type of food? Because this is the specific utensil used to separate or to pit the. So does that make the Hesach Hadas more important, because they usually go together? So he should have been thinking about the products and the food as well. Does that not really?
What you're saying is very logical and makes a lot of sense. But Agmar doesn't address it. So apparently, there's no difference as to whether that is the regular normal utensil that you find inside the sal or it's not the regular one. The point is he didn't think about it.
Or
with ovens, because you could also use it to go and rake out the oven, like Rashi said. Very good point.
It wasn't important enough for the Gemara to deal with, so.
But it's in Baruch Hashem. You're thinking that's great. Anyway, the Gemara continues on. So the Maisa, so we find that there is such a concept. So now, after we've gone through this whole inyan, we've kind of a little bit lost our train of thought. And the Gemara says, Mikol Mokim Kasha. What means Mikol Mokim Kasha? Again, we go back to the second and the third cases that we had above. The case of Rabbi Yonis and Ben Amram, where he switched his Shabbos clothes instead of his weekday clothes. We had Rabbi Lozer Tzadik, where the two women went and exchanged clothes by accident, by mistake. And what do we say? Said the Gemara, oh, because of that, Hesachadas, of the mislabeling, you know what? As a din of time. I see from this Braisa, where the Braisa talks about that I had the Chavius that he thought it was Yain. It turns out that it was Shemen, that we said that it is Tohar Militami. It's not a... But one second. But it says Asur Milecha. Asur Milecha, that got us off a little bit on a tangent, left field. There it's a special case, because it's talking about it was Shoyimim B'davar Metavim B'davar HaPoisla. But putting that aside, I have over here a case of a mislabeling of Yayin to Shemen, Shemen to Yayin, and it's Tahar Militame. Yet you said before, by the two sets of Kalim, the Shabbos and the two women, that it is Mitame other things, and therefore it has a din of Tumah, Mikol Makom Kasha Doshver. Boy, Moisev, Rabbi Ravu, I have another Kasha. Mas Mishach Shabbaslav Nerem Yishmael. A person, a lady comes in front of Yishmael, Omer Lein, she told him, Rebbe Begidze Aragd in the Tahara. I wove this beged when I was Tohar. I made sure everything was B'tahara. But I want you to know, I wasn't thinking the whole time. I was thinking, whilst I was doing the weaving, I was thinking about the Tzenor Ena, which I learned over Shabbos, or the shir that I had just heard from the rabbi in Hilchos Midos, or this or that, the other things. I wasn't really focusing on this beged at all times. So I want to know, please tell me, Rabbi Shmuel, can I assume that it is Tahar? Because I arrived at Tahara. But on the other hand, since I had Hesach Hadas, I wasn't thinking the whole time. Maybe by accident somehow became Tamei. So what do I do? Rashi says, by the fact that the lady came to ask Rabbi Shmuel, is a chesimah that she herself was a chaveira. She was among the scrupulous category of people, because if she would be an Amoritz, she wouldn't even know to ask the question. And the Amoratzim typically didn't ask the rabbis about Tumah V'Tahara, because they didn't care about it in the first place. So therefore, she wants to know, can I assume that it's time? So says Rabbi Shmuel, I asked her a bunch of questions. In other words, when she presented the Shaila, Rabbi Shmuel didn't say Tahar or not Tahar. He started asking, well, tell me exactly how it happened. What did you do this morning or the afternoon? And we took all these B'dikas, Amr Lai Rabbi, you know what? It just occurred to me, Nida Moshcha Imi Bechevel. As we were taking care of the weaving loom, at some point it was about to fall, or it wasn't straight, or whatever it was. So I asked, Nancy, can you come over please? Give me a hand. And she went and she pulled on the rope there of the weaving loom to put everything in order again. And you know what? And afterwards I realized that Nancy was Taka Anita. If you have the whole time, you're not Messiah Das, you're thinking, you're focusing. If you didn't focus, you became a little bit scatterbrained, and you had Hesach Das, distracted, a better term. Tomei, because you see, she didn't even realize it. She was a Chaveira, and she went to Har and all that. But now that I asked a bunch of questions, since she was Messiah Das, now she remembers, yo. In fact, Nancy was touching it, and she was a need at the time. And a very similar story. Again, in front of Rishmol. I went and made this mapa. Mapa is usually like a mat of some sort, or maybe a tablecloth, or whatever. I made a rektia, I wove it, petara, but once again, I was mesiach das, I wasn't thinking about the whole time. Nima nifsikoli, at one point in the weaving process, one of the threads got entangled and snapped, or whatever. And how did I go and tie it back together again? Instead of doing it with my fingers, I put it into my mouth, and I tied it in that fashion. Okay, now, when did this happen? It happened before it became 3x3, either 3x3 etzbois or 3x3 tvachim, depending on whether it's an oni, whether it's an usher, and therefore it was not a beged yet at that time. It was only what we would call goyme bigodim, or goyme kelim. Goyme means that it's not fully fashioned, and it's not mekabel tum. At that point, I went and tied it together with my lips, with my mouth, and some saliva came into it, and it got tied together. Okay, so now, what's the issue? The issue is that maybe this remained lach, it remained wet, even after it reached the minimum shear of a beggar. And Rashi says it turns out, unfortunately, I had not toivled for my nidus. Now, initially, when she didn't toivle for nidus, it wasn't a problem. Because initially, the first threads were not a beged yet.
Below the radar.
Below the radar screen, below the minimum shear of a beged. However, by the time she finished, at that time, presumably, she had already toivled in the mikvah. But nevertheless, or she gave it to somebody else to finish. But by that time that it was already a sheer beged, it could be that that nima was still wet. If that nima is still wet, that means that you have the spittle of a nida, which is mitameh, and therefore the beged is tameh. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rebbe, Samalei Rebbe, Nima Nifskali Mikshati. Start again. So she asked Rabbi Shmuel, what's the din? And here there was no Nancy, nobody else. It was just me. I was the one that wove it. And I did it with Tahara, but I wasn't believing the Shaima. And then Rabbi Shmuel asked her a bunch of questions. And as a result of those questions, Amalei Rebbe, now that you remind me, Nima Nifskali Mikshati Abepe, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel, Kamadon, Kham Shayimim, believe the Shaima is Tahar, and believe the Shaima is Tomei, and therefore it's going to be Tomei because it was Hesach Hadas. Okay, so those are the two cases that the Gemara brought, and now Rabba Bar Avuah is asking a question based on these two cases, on the Gemaras that we had above. What's the kasha? Bishlam Reb Blazer Reb Tzadik. Now, what did Reb Blazer Reb Tzadik say? Reb Blazer Reb Tzadik was
the suitor that fell down.
The suitor that fell down?
No,
it's in the Lazar.
So that's the Shabbos.
The two ladies. The Lazar of Tzadik is the two ladies. You see, Toysis Nima Nifsakali, parallel to that, Umra Lazar of Tzadik, Maisib Shteinoshim, Chaberish, and Schafel, and Kaleh.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. And you could see it from the Gemara. Bishlam Reb Lazar of Tzadik, Kalachas, Viachas, Oimeres, Chaverti, Eishes, Amaot. So now, we're trying to answer our question. What is the question? Clear cut, what is the question? We have the Mimokom Kasha question of above, that on the last two cases, in case number two and case number three, the Shabbos and the Choyl, and the Kalim in the Beis Americas of the two women, both of those were a mislabeling situation where they had full intent to go be Shomer, but it turned out that they were Shomer the wrong thing. It was the Shabbos for Chol for Shabbos for the two ladies. But the Gemara said, but here I had the Yain and Shemen. I also thought it was Yain. It turned out to be Shemen. And it's Tohar Milapoisla, Tohar Milatama. So I see it start. So that was Kasha number one. Now the Kasha number two, from these two stories with Rabbi Shmuel, this is already Kasha on all three cases, not only on the latter two, but even on the first case, that was the case of the Mafoidus that fell on the ground and somebody else picked it up. Didn't Rabbi Shmuel say that as long as Belibai Lishoimrai, it's Tahar? The key is, what did the person think about at the time that he was Osek in all of these three things? If the person had in mind Shmira, it's Tahar. If the person did not have in mind Shmira, it's Tameh. Okay, so that it would explain why in the case of the Yain and the Shemen, why it's Tar, because leave with the Shomer, the whole time I was Shomer. And I don't believe in this mislabeling issue. And therefore says the Gemara now, so why Taka, why by the two mislabeled, do I say that they're Tameh, if believe in the Shomer Tar, the whole time I had in mind the believe in the Shomer. And as well, the first case with the Mafoyers, believe in the Shomer, the whole time I was watching and I was looking.
Yeah,
and
it's somebody else's hands, though.
That's the worst hands. Yeah. So therefore, look, Mario. So now, we're addressing the Kashas. Bishlam Rablu Rab Tzadik. Even though the Braisa said that they were both Noshim Chaveirois, wasn't the Braisa, but the Rabbi Yonasan or Rabbi Lozor Rabbi Tzadik who posed the question said they were Chaveirois, however they didn't know each other. And therefore each one said about the other one, maybe she is an Eishes Amaret, or Maischa Datamina. And as soon as she realized that she's wearing the wrong clothes, she said, hi, I know, it's probably Tamei, the other lady doesn't know what she's doing, she's not Makbet, she's an Amaret.
The fact that I have her clothing shows
she had Yush in a certain sense.
Right, exactly. The fact that I'm wearing it shows she's not careful.
Ah, So therefore, that is not a kasha on what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Believe by the shemir tahar." But how can I be believe by the shemir tahar if and she took it away and
right, 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 right.
And I'm now we're
no,
not watching?
No, there's no great loss of shmir than that.
Exactly. Rabbi Yonis and Amram Nami. Here we're talking about the switching of the Shabbos and the Chol Kalim. Kim the Kim the Shabbos Ovid Lehu Shimmer Tvei. A person when it comes Shabbos, everything is Mekdusha B'Tahara, and so therefore automatically a person has a higher level of Shmira when it comes to Big Day Shabbos. And today, which is Tuesday, he had in mind for Big Day Chol. He didn't realize it was Big Day Shabbos. So even though he was careful, he made a Shmira, but it didn't rise to the level of the normal Shmira. So vis-a-vis his normal level of Shmira, that's considered to be Hesach. So therefore it's not shver from Rabbi Shmuel believe by Lishayim Ritar. Yes, it was believe by Lishayim Ritar, but not on that level of normal shmir that I would normally give to these Kalim, because it's Tuesday. I didn't realize I was wearing my Shabbos Begadim until later. So it was Hesach Hadas. Sorry. That's why Rabbi Shmuel would agree that it becomes Tamei. That's the first case. That's the case of the mafayus that fell to the ground. After all, it's present the whole time. He sees it the whole time. The shawl fell down on the floor. He's asking, Brother Shai, please go and pick it up for me. Now, Brother Shai, because is Tusha B'Tahara at all times. But somebody else, some other brother, he said, please go and pick it up for me. Why's that other person picking it up? I don't know whether he's Tamei or Tahar. I assume if it was Brother Shai, I would know for sure. But this is a brother that I don't know from before. First time I met him. So maybe he's not. I don't know. So he's misiach das by allowing the other person to pick it up, as well as there is no shmira biyadei dechavrei. The other guy is in charge of all the shmira. How can I go and watch? I could be showing him something that is biyadei, but not if it's biyadei dechavrei. So
that's someone you don't know.
Exactly. And that person himself also didn't do a full-fledged shmira, because he says to himself, if I, David, asked him to go and pick it up, and he doesn't know whether I'm Tamei or Tahor or not, Zeitzchos, he doesn't really care, because otherwise he would say, stop, get away, I'm going to pick it up myself. So that's what the Rashi said above, and that's why Rashi said, "Lekam mafarish taima chazok inan misham ashviyat chaveiroi," as well as the person who picked it up, lechosh leshoimer, because he assumes, if he allowed me to touch it, he's probably not so makbid. So therefore,
if this were during the regal, and everyone has says of chaveirim, yeah, these limitations wouldn't apply, correct?
I believe that's correct. So therefore, bottom line is, so let's finish off. Now, so with this, we have answered the kashas that we asked before. What was the kasha we asked before? Why is the Yayin the Shemin case, which says that it's Tahar, why is it Tahar over there? And the case of the Nischalfa Leikel Mishal B'Shabbos Metchol and the two women, because in each case there was a Hesach Hadas. What the Gemara basically is saying is, mislabeling is not the cause of making these things Tamei. What causes these things to become Tamei to the Machmirim et Taharis was the Hesach Hadas factor. When it comes to the Yayin Mishem, it's true. All along I've been saying Yayin, Yayin, Yayin. And only at the end do I realize that it's Shemin. What difference does that make? So I mislabeled it. But the mind says I had the full Shmira at all times. So then why don't you say the same thing by the Shabbos and the Chol and the two women? Because over here there's a Hesach Hadas factor. What's Hesach Hadas? The two women, she has my dress, I don't have my dress. The Mefarshim explained, after the Gemara already said that, we said that Rabbi Yochanan said Chazok Einan Mishama Sheab Chaveiroi, I no longer have to go and say the svara that I said before, that Chaver to Eishes Amoretz and Maschadaitim.
You know, Chaverim, but it's
I don't have the dress. She has the dress, and she's not even here. She's
in
her own.
There's a flaw in the Shmira.
Exactly. So that's the reason why there's a full fledged Hesach Hadas in its stomach. And the same thing with the Gabi, the Shabbos, and the Chol suits, because I usually do a higher degree of Shimmer on the Shabbos, and I didn't realize. So again, Hesach Hadas. So nothing to do with mislabeling, and has to do with a Hesach Hadas situation. Oh, Freiting Moriyetz. Let's go to the final case that we just said now, which was the first case above. That's the case of the Mafarte that fell. We just said, Chazok Eina Mishama Mashi V'Yad Chaveir. Freit Demor V'Loi. Is that true? What time you want another Braisa? How did she owe you Chamor V'Pay Aleph to Unin Taharis? A person was sending a bottle of wine. Rashi points out that it was a Chav Yishol Cheres, and so therefore it can't be Metame from the outside, only from the inside. But the Chav Yishol Cheres and Baruch Hashem, it's sealed. So he has his Chamor V'Pay Aleph, the Te'unin Taharis, they are carrying Taharis, and they are carrying carrying it from one city to the other. Even though the owner of the barrels was more than a mil away, the tariffs are fine. However, if he told them, I will follow you. As soon as they turn the corner and they no longer see him and no longer see them, they already have a status of tamei. Now, before we get to the Mishnah Sefer, let's analyze the Reisha just for a moment. It says in the Reisha that this fellow who owned these chavyasin, even though he happens to be a mil away, Tarois of Tahiris. Why is it Tarois of Tahiris? It's obviously no longer Biyodai, and didn't I go and say here in the Amid Aleph, Chazoka in Odom Mishan Mashim Yad Chaberai? So once I give these Chavis into the hands of the Chamar Vapiyal, I don't know what they're going to do. As to your question, that these are sealed barrels. Right. Maybe they're going to open the barrel and they're going to seal it again afterwards. Anyway, which perhaps would answer your question for the Amid Aleph also. Okay. But the point is, they're no longer Biyodi. It's Biyodi, still somebody else. Ay, ay, ay. All heaven can break out. Why do I assume that all the matter?
I don't say Yosef and Nechmas. It's a Yosef Yosef situation. He's not relaxing his.
Well, let's see when we get further in the Gemara. But in the meantime, the Gemara's Kasha really is from the Reisha, where the Reisha says that even though it's not Biyodoi, he's a mil away, and there are no security cameras watching. Nevertheless, they are Tahar. When it says Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, Rashi says, we're not even goyis Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, because of the fact that Kasha is from the Reisha. But Rashi says, but if you have this Girsa, Nishka Ferlech, we do want to understand why is the Taka a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. With the Reisha, we say that it's Tahar. Well, on the Seifa, when once he says Lechol, then they become Tomei. And the Gemara is going to address that. Amr Bizcha Nafcha. Reisha Metar Chamorim and Payalim Vekach. Ooh, the Reisha is talking about that before the Chamorim and Payalim took the barrels of wine, he insisted that all of them have to go to the mikvah first. And so therefore, even if they did any type of hanky-panky with these chavis and by opening them, touching them, doesn't mean they went to the mikvah, so everything is stored. Aha, so that's why Tarois of Tahiris. But the Mori Hochi is safe and Nami.
Right.
Why don't you say the same for the same thing? Aren't we talking about the same case that he let them go to the mikveh? Not that he let them go, he made them go to the mikveh. So if you want, it's taka true. As far as they are concerned, they're taka tahirim. However, in the safe, it's talking about in Amor, it's makbet al maga chaberai. If his chaver is coming down the street and he says, hey, I'm a little thirsty, can you give me a drink? Sure! And the Amoritz goes and touches, and that Amor Shom Aleichem. And the Amoritz didn't go to the mikveh, because he wasn't his Chamor V'Pi'alev, he might have touched it. And that's why in the Sefer, it's Tomei.
The
same thing could happen in the Reisha, that maybe he came, and the Pi'alev, they offered it to Magda Chaveri, and it becomes Tomei. It's talking about a situation where the owner, if he wanted to, he could catch up to the Chamor V'Pi'alim if he goes slightly with a shortcut. Kalsen usually means like a crooked road, but it means a shortcut. It's like you're saying. And therefore they're noivis to allow the Maga Chaveri.
It's
a Yosef,
well, would say, it's a
Yosef
situation.
Why don't you say the same thing? He can get to them Derech HaKalsen. So tomorrow, Kiven de Omul Hulechu, once he gave them the signal, you guys go ahead, and I'm going to go and follow. Vani Ovei Acharechem. Mismach Samcha Datai, they're really Samech that exactly, he's not going to get back here for who knows how long. We're not worried.
They'll risk letting somebody else, a tamei, touch it or drink from it or something.
Exactly. So how did we answer our kasha? So let's look at the Rashi. Umr b'yitzchak v'metar chamor v'pi'al of lekach.
Yes.
5-6 lines before the end of the parak. The oilam ain odem mishamer mashav yad chaber, like Rabbi Yochanan said on the Amid Aleph. Vahani ain tzrich and shimur. The Reisha didn't need shimur at all. The nami nogu, even if they touched the wine and they drank from the wine, leichpat lehu, and it just so say leichpat leichpas lehu, it doesn't bother them. Tikishet bila lekach askina. We're talking about that he toivled them. So bottom line, the kasha that we asked on Rabbi Yochanan from the Reisha, the Rabbi Yochanan says that ainod b'sham mashiyat chaveira, but the Reisha says taroisav tohirois, even though he wasn't within a 1 mil radius. The reason is because they are tohirim. They're not Amarat, and they all went to the mikveh. So what's the shash in the sefer? Shash sefer is going to go and call over others that didn't go to the mikveh. Why am I not kosher for that in the Reisha? Because in the Reisha, they're afraid of Derech HaKaltzoin, the Yoitzah V'Nichmas, that you're saying B'Shem Rabbi Kol. But the sefer, they weren't worried, because once he's in the Chol, they're not concerned. So bottom line is, we have reaffirmed Rav Yochanan, no kasha from this price. Hadnulach and Doshan, Lach and Doshan, Doshan, we start a brand new parak. Now this Mishnah Chaim Rebekoidish lists 11 different malos that the Chachamim gave to Kodshim over Truma. Not min haTorah, all midraban. And each one of them, the Gemara, the Mishnah only gives it in very succinct language, and the Gemara is going to go into it over the next five blot till almost the end of the parak. So therefore, we'll go through them all, but we don't have to go and explain it in the full detail, because otherwise we'll be here for another hour, as well as we're going to then just preempt the Gemara. So, Chaim HaKadosh Bim B'Truma, and they're going to be, as you'll see, 11 different examples. The Gemara tomorrow is going to ask maybe the 10, not 11. Good. Chaim HaKadosh Bim B'Truma. Number one, Shemat Bilan came to Kel B'Truma Avaloi L'Kadosh. What happens if I have a bigger Kli and a smaller Kli, and both of them are Tomei, and I want to toivel both of them simultaneously? So I insert the smaller Kli into the bigger Kli, and I put them into the mikveh.
Right.
Says the Mishnah, for Truma, you can do that, but you can't do it for Kodshim. L'chor, there's an obvious problem, and the problem is a potential chatzitza.
Right.
And that's what Mitzvah the Gemara is going to, if you look at the Gemara and the Amud Aleph for a moment, why don't they have a chatzitza by Truma? Anyway, stay tuned to mention tomorrow further about this. So, by Truma, they were not makbid, and they said, you can toivel one and the other, but not by Kodesh. Halacha number two, you can have a kli, which itself is subdivided now into three separate parts. Achorai means the bottom of the kli. The toich means the upper part of the kli. And inside the kli, you could have a beis hatzvita. The Gemara is going to ask what a beis hatzvita is. Typically, a beis hatzvita means that you can go and put in a corner of your kli, in a slight indentation, a little bit of mustard or a little bit of ketchup or
condiment,
some grain, condiments. You see, sometimes you go to a fancy chassan or something.
Right, the dish has a little sub dish inside.
Exactly. So you have a piece of fish on the side, and there's a sub dish inside which has the grain or whatever it is. So there you have three separate kelim. Each one of them, legabe truma, can become independently tummy. Not a tumah d'oraisa. If it touches a nida, a zava, a nevela, all those wonderful things, and the whole thing becomes tummy. We're talking about, for instance, if it touches mashkin tmeim, which you already saw in the Tosis in the Yomar Aleph, the mashkin tmeim ametame kelim. However, we can subdivide the kli only where the mashkin touched it. If it only touched the toich and didn't touch the base of tzvita, didn't touch the acharayim, the other side could be tar.
Yeah, but the whole thing has to be tovel. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No,
what happens? Something, you put some food item into the base of tzvita, you have mashkin tmeim.
I see. So only that because is makabel tuma, and the other stuff is the fish, the gefilte fish in the main plate stays tar.
Right.
Okay.
Tumah only touches the
base of tzvita. It's not for us. It's tefillah is concerned. It's about the damage it can cause.
Exactly right.
Thank you.
No problem. If it's a kodshim plate, then the whole thing becomes tummy. Once one part becomes tummy, the whole thing is tummy. That's halacha number two. Halacha number three. Anu yisei medras. Anu yisei truma. Avalo yisei kodesh. You have an individual who is carrying a medras. Rashi gives an example. He's carrying the shoes of a zav in one hand, and the other hand he's going and carrying truma.
Wow, what a mistake.
Okay, but he's allowed to do that. But of course, be careful, don't allow one to touch the other.
Yeah.
Now you're going to tell me, yeah, but if he's touching the medrash, then he becomes tummy automatically, the
right.
Whole body
right.
Becomes
the medrash
tummy.
The medrash doesn't have a tumah, metami, other mekalim, and he's tummy.
Why is the metami tumah automatically? So Rashi said that the tumah is within an insulated chavir, so to speak.
I see. So there's no tumah tessus.
What's insulated? It's about a chavir shokharis.
That's right.
So therefore.
It's with a sealed
chavir. Therefore, I'm not, by tumah, I'm not concerned that he's going to accidentally take the medrash and put it into the barrel and cause it to become tummy. You're not allowed to. And I believe the Gemara is going to say because of Master Shahoya, there was one time a person was carrying two things and by accident they touched each other. So stay away. If you're carrying a medrash, don't carry
but
touch him the other
hand. Medrash, his hand becomes tummy.
That's true.
And his hand becomes.
But is he touching a Kli Ferris, though?
He's touching a Medrash is an Avatumah.
Avatumah.
And if he's touching a Medrash, he becomes a Rishon Latumah.
He becomes a Rishon Latumah.
So he's carrying.
Kli Harrison.
Kli Ferris.
So there's no Tumas Hesses
right.
Carrying.
It's a barrier.
A kucharis is insulation.
Let's wait till we're putting
okay.
But that's the din that is the difference between Kodesh and Truma. Next case. Big day oichle Truma, medras the Kodesh. That's already the case we had in our Mishnah yesterday that we spoke about at the beginning of today's year. You have the begodim of oichle Truma, Matters like Koidish, even though this person is a really heavy geyid, a koyin, a koyin gudul, he makes sure to eat all his truma, a taris, a truma, but nevertheless, the begodim that he has, which are automatically considered to, well, to be his wife's begodim, because she might have sat on them, then matters like Koidish, and then matters like Koidish. Oh, another malet we have by Koidish over truma. Why can't be this a Koidish midas ha truma? What happens if I have a beged which has knots in it, and the beged became tame, and now I want to be metired in the mikveh? When you're talking about koidshim, you have to be mati, you have to open up all the knots. Umanagim, you have to go and dry it out, make sure that it's a dry beged, and then you can toivel it. V'yachkach koidshim, and then you take it out, then you can go and knot it once again. V'betruma koidshim, you can leave the kesher in it. V'yachkach matpil, you don't have to go and go to the extent of opening up v'ksharim and making sure. L'choy, we have a chatzitza problem, and we're going to discuss that again on the Amud Aleph of Yetzir Shem. So that's another chumrah by koidshim that you have over truma, that you have to go and loosen all of the knots and dry up any place that might be moist on the kli, on the begin, before you
tie it.
Next, came a gemara b'tahara trichin tevil lakodesh avoloi l'truma, like we had in the Amud Aleph, the cases of the lady that just finished off the beged, or for that matter, you have a new kli that's coming out of the factory. It was nigma b'tahara. All the people there are absolutely shem b'tayin mitzvahs, and they know all the dinim of tahara and tuma, and there was no tuma whatsoever. And even on the container, on the box, it says on it under the hashgach of this and this that it's torah lagamri. Nevertheless, if you want to use this kli for koidish, you have to go and toivel the kli anyway. If you know for sure, exactly. Next case, a kli mitzar mashu b'toichel a koidish of a loy l'truma. You have in a kli, you have a whole bunch of food items. Let's talk about, for instance, you have chulin beans, and you have 10 beans inside the kli. And the kli became tummy. Let's assume it became tummy mitaraisa and avatum. Now the first bean that is touching the side of the kli, it's talking about that the bottom of the kli is not tummy, just the side. Okay, let's not talking about tumi deraisa, let's talk about tumi drabban. So you had mashkin tameim that touched the kli. So the kli is tummy, and now what happens is, but not the bottom of the kli, only the side of the kli. So the kli touched now, well, you don't even have to talk about that. A zov went and put his seed, he didn't touch the kli at all. This is a regular kli. The kli has it at 10 beans. Azov went and stretched out his hand and he touched bean number what?
The center on the side.
The first bean in the line. That bean now becomes tummy. And because it happens to be now, I was an avatoma, the Zov that touched with avatoma, so this bean becomes now Rishon Latoma. The Rishon now goes and touches the next bean. That becomes a Sheni Latoma. And since this is a Truma situation, that second bean will touch the third bean, and that's going to be also Possel. Will the fourth bean after that become Tamei?
Mm-hmm.
No, because the three can't do anything more. It's Truma. So the first three will be Tamei. Everything else, the other seven are Kushim Vitor, everything is fine. However, when it comes to Kodshim, I would think, go one more and say that four of them become Tamei. No. Akli Matar Mashem Toich the Kodesh. All the beans inside become like one entity, like one shtick flesh. So therefore, if the Zav touched one part of the flesh, it's all Tamei. Everything inside becomes Tamei. I think Mo'ah is going to learn it from a pasuk that we have by the Siyam, Kaf Achas, Asor Zav Mleik. Toyris was the Kaf Achas. Kol Mashem Toich HaKaf, Nasa Achas. They all become united, merged into one. It's almost like the Avonim that you have by Yaakov Avino that became one Eben.
Morning.
All of them merge into one. Avloi truma, not by truma. Only the first three beans and everything else will be torn. Right. Review by kodesh is possible. Shlishi by truma. That's an obvious one, but everybody knows that by kodeshim the degree of truma goes into the review. By truma only to a shlishi. That's another mala that kodeshim has over truma. Uba truma. And nitmas achas miyodav chaverta tohira. Uba kodesh matbol shtein. What happens if you have, in a case of truma, where one hand became tamei, one hand, for instance, touched the cloth of the sefer Torah, and that becomes tamei. However, the other one, you were careful, everything was tohar, it remained tohar, and it wasn't the stam yadayim, because the person had washed his hands 5 minutes ago, and ever since then he was not mesiach das from the other hand, so that's tohar. This first hand, whoever touched the cloth, it became tamei. Okay, so what's the din now? Ubetruma, imnit mizachat miyodav chaveta, the other one remains tar. And therefore you only have to go and wash one hand. Ubakoidish, however, matbul shteyem, both of them have to go and be toiled. Like we said in the Mishnah, right. Like Koidish, you have to be matbul. Why should you have mitam mizchaveta? Ubakoidish, one hand can be matam with the other one. Whether the one hand has to actually touch the other one? Or do we say automatically that
it
runs through the blood and the cells of the body of the other one? That's mitzvah, wait for the Gemara. But that's only a svara by Kodesh, not by Truma, by Truma. Just make sure one hand doesn't touch the other and the other hand is torn. Another case. Oichlin, oichlin, agum, miyadayim, esu, ovis, betruma, avaloi, bakoidish. And the gufim over here means that they're totally dry. Totally dry to the extent that Rashi says, loy huchshru letuma mei oila. They were never mukshal kabel tuma. So oichlin, oichlin, agum, miyadayim, esu, ovis. Yadayim, esu, ovis means that your hands have a din of a sheni. In other words, like stamsh the ois. If it's truma, you can go and pick up the oichlin and eat it. You don't have to be concerned. Why? Why don't you say that the oichlin becomes tummy? If my hands are a shiny and this is truma, it becomes a shlish. It didn't have a hechsher. Avalei b'kodesh. B'kodesh, you cannot do that. Even though it's not mukshal kabel tuma, that's another mal. Final mala. This is the 11th case in the Mishnah. Oinim b'chusik yipurim tzrichim tefil l'kodesh. Avalei l'truma. Person was an oinim. An oinim means a person who, unfortunately, someone in his immediate family passed away. However, he didn't touch the mess. He wasn't an oil mess. He didn't touch it. But he was an oinim. And an oinim is not allowed to go and eat. Not allowed to eat certain things.
I see.
The truma or maisa sheni. I think he is allowed to eat. I think master is not allowed to eat. Anyway, he was an oinim. Uriyam mechusik kippur. Mechusik kippur says Rashi is like a zov who toiveled on his seventh day, and he had Harif Shemesh, and now he has to go and bring Karbonis. Until he brings those Karbonis, he called them a Chosik Kippurim. So what about these two individuals? Min HaToyer, they would be allowed to go and eat Kachin, there wouldn't be a problem. Or actually, they're talking about Koyish, and then you're fine. So an Oinen would allow to be, after his Aninus is ended, he didn't become Tomei. The Chosik Kippurim, he already brought he didn't bring his Kabbalah yet.
He went to the seventh day of his Tiglachas or whatever.
Exactly. Reason, right? And now he wants to go and eat Karbanois, he wants to eat Kodesh. Tzrich and Tvila Kodesh, they have to have a special Tvila. Not required Minatoyra, because this Mechusik is already Toivel. Right. And the Oyna doesn't require Tvila. Nevertheless, Midrabanan, they have to have Tvila Kodesh. Avloy the Truma, if they want to eat Truma, they don't have to Toivel, they can go and eat from it. Mentioned to be explained in the Gemara in greater detail. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael, in Zagibetch.